D72 is the professional PC text multi-tool designed for automation in diagnostic, Windows repair, and malware removal. No other tool can help you automate more, relax more, and get paid with less effort than ever. Podnuts likes to thank Nick Shaw for his continued support.
Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 381, a show for computer repair techs by computer repair techs. I'm your host, Jeff Halish. I'm joined today by Pat Palmer from thecomputerguy.bz. Hey, welcome to the show, Pat.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you. I really was looking at your website a little bit earlier and really like a lot of the things you got going on there. Some of the stuff we were talking about. And I'm sure we'll get into that in some of the marketing and different things that you've been doing. Why don't you just real quickly kind of give a little background about yourself, about basically how did you really get started in computer repair?
Well, originally I was in ninth grade, and that was a long time ago. And my dad was the best at coaxing me into doing things. He brought home a TRS-80 computer, and he worked at a ready-mix concrete plant. And so he comes home with this computer and says, "I'll bet you $10 you can't figure this out." And usually that's, you know, that was, "I bet you $10 you can't get the VCR from flashing 12, you know, all of that stuff.
Right.
You know, anything, you know. "Bet you $10 you can't shovel the driveway."
That's great.
So anyway, we worked with this computer and learned the basic programming, the basic language. And what he really needed the computer for was at his work. And when you make concrete, you know, you see the big concrete trucks driving around that spin that stuff inside around. And it's just more than rocks and sand and whatever. There's an actual recipe for concrete. And so what we did was he wanted to have that recipe for concrete extrapolated out from 1 yard to 8 3/4 yards, the most you could have on a truck, or down to a quarter yard if somebody just needed a quarter yard of concrete. And so rather than getting out the slide rule and the calculators and all this, he said, "We need to develop a computer program that can calculate concrete." And so what we did was we took a basic yard of concrete, and you put so much rock and so much limestone and so much cement and so much water, whether it's a summer pour and a winter pour, depending if it's hot or cold, fly ash, and all this ingredients that make concrete. And we came up with a program, and it got so accurate that when the state of Iowa would come in to do inspections, they'd just bring it up on the computer and copy the numbers right off the computer. So that's how we got started with, got started with computers. It was about 1980.
Wow. Okay.
went to community college and learned a few things there, which, you know, someone says, "Well, did you learn a lot in college?" Well, nothing that I could use today, really. I mean, last time I sat down was and used Pascal. Had to be a long time ago, or COBOL or Fortran or anything like that.
Right.
So, but it taught you the logic around things. And so as I went through life, what I did from the time I was in college, about 1985, 83, 84, 85, I worked at a radio station. I did that for 17 years. And so the computers were kind of on the back burner. I kind of dabbled in them. And then, you know, one day at the radio station, I kept working more and more with them, and the boss says, "Hey, why don't you just go into business and do this part-time?" And so I did in about 1996, and then left the radio station in 2000, went to work for a cell phone company, got to understand a little bit more about wireless technology and things like that, and we had to memorize all the acronyms, the CDMA, the TDMA, you know, whatever, LGE and LTE and all these histories of this and that, which don't do me a whole lot of good now either. But anyway, just some basic understanding of that. And then in 2006, pretty much just said, "Take this job and shove it." And I went on my own, and I worked out of my house for 3 years, from 2006 to 2009, self-employed. And then 2009 to 2012, I had a shop downtown Hampton. And in late 2012, I just noticed that things weren't going as well as they should be. And so I thought, you know, I'm just going to move this back home and be happier. I'm tired of being downtown, tired of the employee, tired of a few other things, tired of the landlord that didn't take care of things. And so just moved home, and I'm just a one-man show. And if I do need help, I give a guy a call and we do some contract work and we're off to the races. So that's pretty much my history, and that's what I do.
Okay.
Just drive around. Last year I put 40,000 miles in the vehicle, and away I went.
Very cool. No, that is a great backstory. The interesting things that you did to make, kind of getting to computers with making programs for, basically making cement, which is awesome. That's a great story.
You make concrete. There's a difference.
Okay.
Cement goes in concrete. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Your dad's a concrete guy. It's concrete.
Yep. But. And you know that for backwards and forwards. That's great. Well, I'll tell you what, that sounds good. So obviously you're a lot happier being back home and not having the overhead costs and different things that are associated with having a shop. Is the business still going as strong as it was?
Yeah. And, being home, if I want to work on computers in my underwear, I don't get those strange looks like I am when I'm downtown.
Right.
my wife says I sleep better, and I've got a weird sleeping schedule. So if I'm up till 2 or 3 in the morning, that's not a big deal for me to work. That's where I can concentrate. That's when the phone doesn't ring, and that's where I can really hone in and get some stuff fixed. And it seems like I just have that concentration power. If it's during the day, I like to be on the road during the day. And I always say, if I eat lunch in my hometown, I'm not making any money that day. So, cause I want to be out. So, but I've got a lot of customers here in my hometown, but I've got a lot in other places too.
Yeah. It sounds like if you're talking 40,000 miles in a year, it sounds like you're talking a lot of, a lot of travel time and stuff like that. And some people actually do like that. So it kind of gives you time to think or listen to podcasts and different things like that too.
Yeah.
So there's a bonus. Sure. All right. Very good. Yeah. 40,000 miles. Wow. That's a lot for, a business that moves around.
Right. And I've kind of got a route established. I use Facebook quite a bit for advertising. And I've got also a weekly newsletter called the Monday Morning Memo. And you can subscribe to it right from my webpage right there on the front page. I talk about various things, some personal things and some more just business stuff. And people, I think, by now know my route. Mondays, I go to the town that's about 30 miles north of me. That's about 30,000 in population. And then Tuesdays, I go south to a town that's about 8,000 in population. Wednesdays is back north. Thursdays is east to a town of about 7 or 8,000 population. And then Fridays, I have a workspace, a co-working space that are popping up around Iowa. And the co-working space is in Webster City, Iowa, which is west of here about 40 miles. And so they give me a desk and a copy machine and a printer and Wi-Fi and a meeting room. And I've taught classes over there to make some money as well too. So these co-working spaces are fantastic. If you can find one in your hometown or find one where you can do business in, I think they're worth it.
Okay.
It's $50 a month for me. And I sit and I could go every day. I could go once a month. I could go whenever. But it's just an office to give yourself a presence in another town instead of working out of your van.
No, that's awesome. $50 a month, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a great deal.
They've got several packages. One, if you're a dedicated office, they do have 4 offices there. And that's there's a lawyer and there's some accountant or something there. And then my deal is $50 a month. And I can use it every day of the week. I can use it, whenever I want. And then they have day passes. If you just need it for a day, you're just traveling, and it's $10 a day.
Okay, that's a good deal.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's I've met so many nice people over there, and they've really treated me well, and I've done some good business, and I've made some good contacts with the chamber. I'm a member of 4 chambers of commerce, and that really helps me out too.
Okay, so that helps your business, get the notice out there to people.
Yeah, there's usually free, they do a newsletter a week, and if you want an ad in there or you want a little bit of a mention, Pat's going to be in town on Friday, that's usually always free.
Okay, very cool. All right, so you said some of the things you're doing, with the Chamber of Commerce and stuff like that, and you said you also do parades with your van?
Yeah, I do between 14 and 20 parades a summer. And they start Memorial Day weekend, and they end up usually Labor Day weekend. And okay. There's a few stragglers. They In Iowa now, it's cool to have an Oktoberfest celebration. So now they're doing, you know, they're borrowing a page out of Wisconsin's book, you know, having a little bit of Oktoberfest. And we've got a good German population here in Iowa, too. So
okay.
Drink beer, eat brats, and go through the parade. So
that sounds good. No, that's real good. I think pretty much at least every state that I've been in always has some sort of Oktoberfest somewhere.
Yeah. So,
definitely used to that. All right. So what types of things, you know, obviously you're doing a lot of marketing and sounds like you've got, you know, the way your business is structured, you've got a regular routine that you go through. And, you know, I was looking at your van and I was really impressed with that, with all the lettering and stuff on the side, and that you're able to put 40,000 miles on it a year and go through parades and market yourself. But what types of things have you been working on lately that, you know, maybe might help somebody out there?
Really right now we've got, from what I've seen on a tech level is I've just seen a ton of bad hard drives. And right now when you're looking at people who have the old XP machine, this end XP, if you haven't made money on this yet, you are not trying, because Microsoft did us one heck of a good favor, and that they ended XP and it sent shockwaves and people running to the hills. And, oh my God, what are we going to do?
Right.
And all I could see was dollar signs and that sort of deal, you know?
Right.
Because they were all scared of Windows 8. And so I can still certainly get Windows 7 out there and, you know, give a call to Dell or HP or build our own. We do that as well too. And so, it has just been a cash cow, this whole going from Windows XP to Windows whatever. And, you know, when it comes right down to it, a lot of the businesses that are out there, if they have a POS system or something like that, as long as it's not crashing and burning, it's still going to work fine for them. I mean, I told people it's still going to work for you.
Sure.
The gal running the cash register might not get on the internet with it, and that's just fantastic too, because they don't need to.
Right.
It was just sending reports back and forth from three computers in the store on cash register type things, then they don't need to worry about it as long as it works.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I think different use case scenarios. I think for the general person at home, they actually, you know, at first I was kind of like, well, if your computer's working fine, you can probably stick with it. And I've changed my stance on that. And I've said, you know, it's probably time to upgrade. I mean, you got a computer that's 8, 9, 10 years old. It's really time. You're going to be much more satisfied with your computing experience if you just move up to something new. And I've been moving people to Windows 8, and I really have not had a problem.
Right.
You know, people are just like, for what they use it for, if you just show them a couple quick, you know, quick tips and tricks, they can figure out how to get to their email, their website, you know, or, you know, surf the web, that type of stuff. So
I just think it's been bad brand marketing. Microsoft has needed to do more to ease the pain.
Yes.
Because I deal with a lot of elderly clients, and their social media is going to Hardee's or McDonald's at 10 o'clock and 3 o'clock, and that's their social network.
Sure.
And so one person has a bad experience with Windows 8, and by the end of the day, everybody hates it.
Right.
And so, and I tell people, they said, well, I got a Windows XP machine I want you to clean up. And, okay, well, that's fine. We can do that. But when hard drives start failing and things like that, there's no need to keep that going. So that is an excellent time to bridge the gap and make the change and make the jump. You know, it's just, but I'm saying to the other techs out there, if you haven't made a ton of money off this yet, you missed the boat, because when the warnings are popping up on the screen that end of XP is near, that's just like a cash register going off.
Right. Oh, exactly. Now, what types of hard drives, what name brand hard drives have you found that have been failing, or is it pretty much across the board?
It's most of these, you know, people can sit in their house and they can use a 10-year-old computer, but by God, when their phone gets to be about 6 months from the end of the contract, then they start squealing about it, you know?
Right.
And when you're using a 10-year-old computer, it's time to, you know, it's time to get the gun out and take it to old Shep, you know? So it really doesn't matter. The hard drives are so old and the computers are so old, you know? The lady, I said, lady yesterday, hard drive failed in her XP machine, and I said, well, it looks at the manufacturer's date on this hard drive was from 2008 or 2006. And, well, that lasted 8 years. That's pretty good. No, that's really good, you know, for things that last now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Especially when you're talking about electronics. That's a big thing that we definitely deal with on a regular basis. You know, my rule of thumb with a lot of hard drives has always been, if you can get past the first 2 years, you know, a lot of times a hard drive will just last forever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, a lot of times, most of the failings that I see are usually within the first 2 years of manufacturer's date, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think most of the manufacturers are using a lot of the same, you know, hard drives. You see a lot of Hitachis and Toshibas. I'm trying to think of the name. What was the other one? Not Toshiba. The Hitachis and, you know, there's like only two manufacturers left anymore. It seems like everybody else has bought everybody else up. So,
right. But, and you know, for me, Seagate or Western Digital doesn't matter. It's whatever's on sale.
Yep.
I really don't care.
I agree with that. I've never had a problem with either one of those drives. They work almost identically the same as long as they're working. And they're just as fast, you know.
Right. So. I've seen on the platforms lately, I do a lot of work for the HP platform, AT&T platform on OnForce. And I see hard drives failing all the time, these new machines, or at least I see, you know, a lot of calls for them. And so I don't know what people are doing or if it's a lesser grade or whatever. But, boy, I see a lot. I think I've got four calls right now in my queue for OnForce that have hard drive problems.
Now, so OnForce is one of those companies where you can be a part of that. They basically will, you know, they get in contact with different techs after you join them, and they'll send, you know, they'll say, hey, do you want to do this type of work? And here's what it pays. And you kind of go out there and do that. Now, I've noticed in the Facebook group that I'm a part of with you that a lot of people talk about these different companies and doing basically third-party work for these companies. Now, how's that been working out for you as far as your business?
You know, I don't do the volume. Some of those guys in there and some of the gals in there, they just do, you know, land office business. And a couple of people in there are really, really well-versed in how to deal with those companies. And I've got a couple of rules with them. I won't do anything I don't know how to do.
Okay.
Because I hate printers. And printers hate me.
I'm with you.
We know that. And so they'll call up, yeah, Pat, can we send you out on a printer job? I said, why don't just buy him a new printer then?
Exactly.
I'll bust yours.
Yep.
And so I have 100 screws left over. And so, and I don't do a lot of POS stuff, maybe once in a great while. And I don't do the rollout things. There's people, I'm too old for that. I don't have the ambition.
Gotcha.
And so, I'll replace your hard drive. I'll replace your memory, and I'll replace your keyboard and things like that. But I'm not going to get it. I mean, there's a couple of guys in there that really make some good money on those, and they really complain when something doesn't go their way, and that's fine and dandy because that's their livelihood. I don't do out of my whole gross income. I bet the platforms of, you know, OnForce and Avnet and Field Nation and all those other ones, I bet I don't do 10%.
Okay.
So it's like on Friday, I had two lift and assist jobs through OnForce where all I had to do was help the Pitney Bowes guy carry a box. Boy, that's good money, and that's easy for me to do.
Sure. You know, that's great.
Run a pocket knife. Here, Pat, run a pocket knife. You know, that's what I can do. So I don't get into the – and there's guys that can, you know – Chris Tiffany up there in Wisconsin, you know, he's got his couple different companies up there, and he's just running gangbusters with doing rollouts of, you know, KFC and various projects, and more power to him. That's not my cup of tea. If I was his age, you know, he's 20 something, 22 maybe, you know, that might be the thing to do. But boy, I'm almost 50, and I'm tired of that.
Gotcha. No, that's good. I think you need to stick to what you're good at. And, you know, especially when you're getting the best bang for the buck, and that's where your money that you're making is good and you're comfortable with that. That is a good rule of thumb. You know, don't necessarily deal with something that, number one, especially if you don't like to do it, you know, because there are so many things in a computer repair field that you can do. And there's things I enjoy doing, and then there's things that I don't. So that's right. a fair statement there, I think. And it's that's a good rule.
And so I just, you know, I locally I'm seeing, again, a lot of hard drive failures. I'm seeing a lot of viruses more just based around this conduit, little thing that's getting into web browsers and infecting web browsers and things like that. And, of course, once you get that, then all their buddies come on in too. So
sure.
virus removals are a big thing. I get discouraged. You know, everybody does. When you see on Craigslist somebody who will fix everything for $20. And it's like the barber that came to town, and he had a big sign on the window that says $5 haircuts. And he was doing a lot of business. And then the barber shop across the street had a sign in his window that says, I fix $5 haircuts.
You know? That's great.
So I fix a lot of $5 haircuts.
Right, exactly.
People out there. I said, well, what did the other guy do? I said, first of all, why didn't you call me? Well, they trail off. Second of all, well, what did he do? Well, they just reformatted it. Well, gee whiz. Then we've lost a lot of things, and it's going to be tough to get it back. And that's, you know, that's their answer, is just to reformat and with no regards to backing anything up first or things like that. And, of course, that seems to be the easy way out. And it's, you know, life's not always easy, so sometimes you actually have to work. And that's kind of where I'm at, is you have to do the work sometimes. And if it requires that, yeah, you back everything up and make sure the customer is comfortable with that. But 9 times out of 10, you can usually just fix it.
Exactly. And that's, I think you get that with experience, where you get to the point where you tell yourself, you know what, that reformatting the computer and setting everything back up is more of a pain than it is a lot of times just fixing it. Yeah. I had a guy call me, and he basically, his hard drive died. And he went and bought another hard drive, and he called me up, and he wanted me to reinstall the operating system. And I said, no problem. I said, do you want me to bring it to you, or do you want to drop it off? Well, I'll bring it to you. I'm like, oh, okay, that's great. He's like, but just how much is it going to be? You know, and I said, I charge a flat rate of $89 if you bring it to me. He's like, oh, he goes, well, I don't mean to, you know, haggle with you, but. He goes, isn't it just putting a disk in and, you know, letting it run? And I had to silently laugh in the background and say, you know, it's a little bit more than that. I said, you're talking about, we're replacing a hard drive. We got to find the proper drivers to run with your system. We've got to, you know, do the Windows updates, get all this stuff ready to go. Make sure you got an operating antivirus in there, you know, all that type of stuff. I'm not in the business of just, let me put an operating system on there like some people do, and they'll give it back to you with no updates, nothing done.
Right.
You know, and the guy wanted to pay me $25. And in the midst of the conversation, now, you know, back in the day, I might have actually done that when I was mm-hmm. younger. But now I've gotten to the point where I go, no, I charge a flat rate, and I do a lot more than the regular guy, and I'm going to mm-hmm. make sure it's right. I said, but you know what? And he made the comment that he had he was going to borrow a restore disk from a friend.
Oh, yeah.
So my thing back to him was like, you know what? I think you'd just be better off. I would just get the restore disk from your friend, and just go ahead and restore. And you know, sounds like you're pretty competent to do it yourself, and you know, go along that route. So he was like, okay, well, I'll keep you in mind for future stuff. I said, all right, that's great. Hey, have a great day.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you borrow that disk. Yeah, and I mean, it's, and you can try a lot of customer education, and sometimes it just falls on deaf ears.
Sure.
And so, what do? They make their mistake, and I'll be here when it doesn't work.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what as soon as you get to a point where, or you know what, when people get to a point where they spend more time trying to fix things than they are actually using their system to do the things that they want to do. I think everybody gets to that point. And your other point of, you know, the Craigslist, you know, whatever you want to call them, pizza techs or whatever, mm-hmm. everybody starts off somewhere, and that's fine. But here's the thing. I've seen a lot of people come in and do advertising and charge really, really low prices, you know, $39 for a reinstall mm-hmm. or whatever. And I'm like, and you know what? It's not that the guys were bad guys. They actually looked like they were really competent techs and really good at what they did, not only their day job, but also what they were doing on the side. But what I looked at, I said, listen, for $39, I said, you won't last in doing that. Because right. you'll get to a point, everybody gets to a point where they go, it's just not worth the time that I'm putting into this for the little bit amount of money I'm getting. And I tell people all the time, I said, you're not paying for me to fix this. You're paying for the knowledge that I learned to be able to fix this.
Yes.
It's a big difference.
Absolutely. And those three words are probably the three words I hate the most, on the side. Mm-hmm. On the side. Because that's not your main income. This is my main job and what I do. I don't do this on the side. This is what I do 9 to 5 and 8 to 3:30 in the morning some days, you know.
Sure.
So those people that do that on the side usually don't pay taxes on the side on their work either. Right. And it aggravates me as well too, because, you know, if I've got to pay, everybody ought to pay. So, and I'm pretty diligent. I'm diligent about that. And,
sure.
I just think that they're cheating the system, and they're the first ones to complain when something doesn't go right. Well, you should have, you know, this and that. But I see those guys out a lot, and it's just you just shake your head once in a while when you see that.
Well, you know, it's funny because you're exactly right. And that would be one thing that would irritate me. And that's why I actually have a full daytime job, and I actually do my business on the side. But the difference is I'm incorporated as an LLC. I pay taxes on everything, which frustrates me to no end because it's a lot of money.
It is.
And, you know, but I pay for advertising. I pay for, you know, tools and website management, and all this kind of stuff that you have to pay for in order to do business. Now, mine is a long-term goal because I've got 8.5 more years before I can retire from my regular job and I can go into this full time, and I'll only be 53 years old. Sure. So, you know, at that point, I'm like going, that's a good, you know, retirement plan. So I want to go into the full time. But yeah, I really think, again, those other guys that are not paying taxes and different things like that, they're not going to last, you know,
right.
and that's why, you know, our prices are a little bit more than the average, which I still think in a lot of cases, when you even look at my prices, they're fair. Mm-hmm. They're very fair for what I do. You're not paying Best Buy rates.
Yep.
You're not paying Micro Center rates or whatever, any of these other companies. So I feel really good about, you know, but everybody has to come to that point where you go, I feel really good about the things that I charge. I do less work and make more money now.
Right. And that's about what the way it was being downtown is I make less money, but I keep more of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my ROI and all the, you know, the cash flow and all these different terms out there, you know, percentage of what I keep is higher than what was downtown.
Exactly.
Because I don't have to stock inventory. I don't have to pay, you know, some guy to answer the phone all day. It's just, you know, it's just me. And so, yeah, so I've even adjusted my rates down a little bit from what I was downtown because I had a higher overhead. I had more insurance.
Sure.
And, you know, I could adjust the rates a little bit on that too. So, but yeah, I tell, you know, people call around and what do you charge for this? What do you charge for virus removal? Well, I tell them, but I said, now, before I said, I know you're going to call around, but before you call around, you ask yourself, you know, who's been in this business for 16, 17 years. And, just a reminder, I don't reformat the computer to remove a virus. I said, you don't go to Jiffy Lube for an oil change and they tell you to switch out the engine.
Right. Good point.
You know, and so I said, ask them what their price is and if they reformat your computer doing it. Because I said, if they do that, all your stuff's gone, your pictures of your kids are gone, and all that sort of stuff's gone, and they won't get it back and they won't care.
Right.
And they'll hide behind not responsible for data loss, and then you're done. So, I mean, that's
exactly. That's all there is to it. You know, and that's, you know, even though it's in my personal contract that I'm not responsible for data loss, I understand, you know, being the age that I am, how important data is, how important 10 years worth of pictures are, how important my first wedding photos, my first kid photos, whatever. And so I'm going to do everything within my power to make sure that I do not lose your data. Now, right. if something by accident happens, you know, or the hard drive cuts out on me, whatever. I haven't had it happen yet, but it could. But a lot of these people, you're right. They willy-nilly just go, yep, put in the disk and reformat the computer. Oh, it's all gone.
Yep.
Sorry. And it's like, and that is hiding behind that clause of I'm not responsible for your data. That is just wrong. And I also know that one day those people will come, it'll come back to haunt them.
Right. Yeah, that's for sure. And I get the computers now that got the Best Buy stickers all over them. And And I think to myself, I was here all along, but they of course didn't believe that. And you know, in our area, we've got what they call the Reader's Choice. A newspaper does this Reader's Choice of the best carpet company and the best sandwich shop and the best this and that. Well, I do have a division for best computer repair. And so I've been fortunate for the last 6 years, I've been the number one computer repair place in North Iowa. And I'm not even from the town that the newspaper's in. So that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think your company brand is paramount nowadays. I think that, you know, service with a smile is the number one thing that's going to win in business over time. Mm-hmm. Because if you think about the type of service that you get at a lot of different places, no matter what it is, computer repair, you know, car maintenance, whatever, it's not always a top-notch service because people are just, they charge whatever they want and they just kind of move along. But I think the people that are doing a good, solid service over time are actually going to have long-term business that's going to stay with them.
And I understand that people don't call me because they're having a good day and their computer's running great.
Right.
You know, I'm the guy you call when your computer's gone to hell and something's going on and the world's exploding. And, you know, I used to do a special from between Thanksgiving and New Year's Day was a relative recovery program. And that's where all the sons and daughters and grandkids came back to their parents and grandparents' house and screwed their computer up. And then I put it back to the way it was before they came. You know, all the bookmarks are still there and the email's right. And, you know, and that went over well. Older people are kind of my stock and trade, I guess. I do a lot of work for older people.
Okay.
So that's just I just, you know, so many people now, if you're 30 or younger, you already know this, or your kid will do it or whatever. But the grandparents seems to turn their backs on them. And the bad part about grandparents is that the worst thing you can ever do to your grandparent is give them a secondhand computer. I mean, that's just a why do that?
Right.
I mean, computers are so cheap now. Get them even a refurbished one that's just been cleaned out and reformatted. You know, don't give them your problems. Just get them a new one.
Right, you know? Exactly.
And I saw that a lot. Then old people realize, my God, I need a new one. And so they get a new one, and they're all good to go. So,
well, yeah, I just had a customer. That's funny you said that. Who's an older gentleman, and I actually worked on his daughter's computer. She'd gotten locked out of one of her accounts, and anyways, I fixed that problem. But he called me up and he was asking me about Windows XP. And this is one of the ones that I recommended. Hey, you know what? Let's get you a new computer. I said, this computer is whatever, 8, 9 years old. I said, and he was having all kinds of problems with it. The guy was still using Outlook Express and it was ridiculous. It was running so slowly and so badly. You know, he got this other computer. We set it up for him, transferred his stuff over, and he's happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because what him and his wife do, they get on Facebook, they check their email, they go down there. You know, he would literally have to, he told me he had to wait like, I don't know, 6-7 minutes for the thing to actually get started. And he wasn't lying. Because the first time I kicked it up to pull the data off, and he had a managed service on there from another company, whom I won't mention, because I don't know anything about them. But anyways, it didn't seem like they were doing anything, and they would fix his Outlook Express problem, which he shouldn't have been using anyways. And nobody told him that. And a couple of days later, even after they fixed it, he still couldn't get his email. It was like, how ridiculous is that? So no, that's, you know what, again, it goes back to people just want to use their machines for what they want to do. They don't really, they don't necessarily want to learn how to fix them or, you know, how to make them work right. That's what they're calling us for. And that's, you know, again, the service with a smile, I think, is very, very important.
Yeah. Trust is just so much a part of it. If you can't trust the guy that's working with your most intimate, you know, details, you've got children's pictures, you've got wedding pictures, like I said, you know, you're handling quite a bit of personal information there.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you can't trust the person that's working with that, that's a sad deal, you know. And, you know, that and you mentioned managed solutions there. That's one thing I'm going to try to get into. I wanted to launch it in May, but I didn't. I've got, I'm working with GFI on that to see if I like it and to see if that's the thing for me, because I do see, I see Staples is getting into it with their managed services. And I got a big pamphlet from them the other day, and I see several other companies getting into it. And I think that, if I can do some computers set up on managed services where it can cut my road time down a little bit, that'll help me out too. And
well, and I'll tell you, I don't know if you listened to the, I'm trying to remember which Podnuts it was, Podnuts episode with Chris Carruthers from the Remote Sport Tech Team. But if you, I would definitely check that podcast out, because that might be, it's a solution I'm using right now, and it's probably a good solution that would be good for you. It was episode number 85.
Okay.
It was a Podnuts episode. So check that out. And yeah, there's a couple other techs that are using his services right now. You know, and I think you'll find that really good for what you want to do. And then it'll also take the learning curve away from you, where you don't necessarily have to learn to do something new.
Right. Now I do a lot of remote repair, but they have to, you know, hit my website, and we kind of set up a pre-existing time. And, you know, one time somebody wanted me to buy into their service, and they wanted me to just give them all my customers and sign them up. And I said, no. I said, because if I give you my customers, I'll possibly never get them back.
Right.
And so I want to take care of my own customers and work on that way. So that was kind of a, I don't know if she ever got anybody to buy into that, but that was kind of a bad deal. I thought for anybody who wanted to keep their own customers, she was going to take all their customers from them, basically.
I gotcha. Yeah. So. Yeah, this solution is a little bit different. It's a white label service that will, you know, label it to your business, and it's really slick what he's doing. So check it out and see what you think. But because I was doing the same thing beginning of this year, I was looking at the GFI Max and looking at to doing some of that remote support and you know, having to manage services type things going on there. And then I was looking at all the things that I had to learn to be able to do it. So I think I found a better solution. It's made it easier on me with, you know, again, my goal anymore, you know, as I get older, is to work less and, you know, make more money. Yeah. So, but still have that custom, you know, it's still my branding is, you know, number one important. And like you said, trust, you know, you got to have the trust with the customers. And for my particular, you know, a lot of people already know this, but for my particular business, I only work in a 6x6 mile or square mile radius, you know, so that's as far as I want to go. I want the local customer, and I figured there's enough computer repair people and computer repair shops out here. I've got like in that 6 mile square radius, I've got 93,000 people. So that's a, that's a lot. So I'm not, there's enough business to go around, and, you know, it's all about marketing. And most of my business comes through Google AdWords, but a lot of my business also comes through the second way is word of mouth. Mm-hmm. You know, Google AdWords is what hits a lot of people when they're searching, but word of mouth is really what kind of expands that out. So,
well, that's for sure. And then that's just like, you know, like the Coffee Clatch group, or you know, everybody's got their own little networks, and it's just not all Facebook and Twitter either. So,
right.
And that as long as you can, you know, make headway there and maybe throw them a frisbee at the parade, and I've got you can't see it, of course, but cups and can koozies and frisbees, and
oh nice,
I just got a bunch of business magnetic business cards now, and you know, I've been taking pictures of people's fridges lately with my magnets on them, you know.
Oh,
and,
nice.
I'm gonna make a kind of a Facebook header for that, and I was doing some research the other day, and someone said, hey, Pat, I see that your logo was on, somebody was using your logo. I said, really? Yeah. And I'd gotten my logo back in 1995, I think, is when I had a gal that was going to somewhere in Arizona to college, and she needed a project. She was a friend of a friend. And so I paid her $75 and she came up with my logo. And so anyway, if you've ever watched the TV show Catfish, they do that Google image search. That's how I learned it. Was, oh, we're just going to put her picture in Google image search and see what pops up. So what I did is I put my logo in Google image search, and it popped up 25 locations on the internet where other people were using my logo.
Wow.
Yeah, besides me. And so anyway, I found on Facebook there was about 10 guys on Facebook using my logo.
Oh,
and
wow.
So I called a couple of them. Because they have their phone numbers. I say, by the way, that's my logo. We should take it down. Oh, man, I didn't. I thought it was clip art. Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry. It's not.
Right.
And so then there was a library in Ohio. And so the computer guy will be here on Thursdays. Every Thursday, the computer guy will be here. And they had my logo there on their webpage. And so I called them, and I there's no sense getting tough with them because they're just a library and nobody meant any harm by it.
Sure.
And so I said, you know, I said that's actually my logo. It's not his logo. And I'd appreciate if you take it down. And so they did. About the next day it was down. And so I sent them a care package of 10 Frisbees and they handed them out during story time or something. And they sent me a nice thank you back for it.
Oh, very
But
cool.
I had a problem with some idiot from England. And he says, I see, you know, you're using my logo and I need you to take that down. He said, what are you going to do about it? Well, I thought to myself, yeah, what am I going to do about it?
Sure.
I mean, I've written him two or three times. I've kind of harassed him over it. He had his Facebook page hidden from me, so I couldn't really put anything on there. And so finally, I had a trademark and copyright attorney here in Iowa. I met at a conference, and he wrote me up one of those fancy $200 letters. And I took all the verbiage from it and emailed his that guy's web provider, web host.
Oh, okay.
And so anyway, the web host did not want to have anything to do with any lawsuit. So first of all, they took the whole page down.
Oh, and, nice.
So I bet he was upset. And sure. So then I saw the page came back. And now there's just two little holes where my logo was that are just empty now.
Okay.
So anyway, that's if anybody does run into that, it's important to Google yourself, of course, to find out what's out there about you and Google your company name. But if you do have a logo, Google, put that logo in image search and see if anybody else out there is using, you know, your logo, especially if it's kind of generic, like the computer guy or, you know, whatever it is, you know, but.
Now, Pat, this is probably a dumb question and I'm probably going to get harassed for this, but I'm going to ask it anyways, because I'm sure I'm not the only one. So how do you put your logo in image search? What's the best way to do that?
Oh, okay. What I do is you pull up the Google page, the Google search page.
Okay.
And up at the top, it says image.
Okay. Yep.
Click that, and you could either put in a website where your image is located, or if you just have the image saved on your desktop, just go upload, and it puts it there.
Oh, okay. Very cool. Okay, so you can actually upload it to your browser, and then it'll do that search for the image. Okay, very cool.
So every once in a while, you know, I run into somebody who wants some advice on the computer, and it's a really weird question, or it's really different, or somebody contacts you about something. And what I did was I copied their picture and put it in Google image search and see how many people are using that same photo.
Okay.
You know, especially, you know, it's mostly, I think, you know, if you ever watch that show Catfish, you'll see a lot of that. But, you know, if somebody's trying to be somebody else, they're using somebody's image or picture, and that's kind of how they do that. But, yeah, I would do it for your own logo.
Okay. No, that's great advice, because I would have never thought about that. I had heard back in the day that you could basically, you probably went the better route getting a lawyer to do that. I'd heard that, you know, you could take your logo, put it into an envelope and basically mail it to yourself and then leave it in the sealed envelope. That was basically a copyright, trademark, whatever for yourself just by doing that, because you had it was postmarked going through the mail system.
Yeah. And then there was a guy from Ohio who, was using my logo, but he replaced the O with an Apple logo. And so it was a computer guy, but the O in computer guy was an Apple logo.
Oh, wow.
And so I emailed him several times. He was on Facebook, he was on Twitter, and he was on Instagram. And if you do some searching, I did find the links to report objectionable material or copyright infringement on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. So I had all those taken down. I'm sure Pinterest and the rest of them have it too. So if you do find anybody's using your logo, stealing it like that, that's the route to go. And you have to just show them. All I had to do was show them the link where their logo was on their page. And then I had to put a link to my page showing me using my logo legally. And it was all taken care of.
Okay, very good.
So there's some tips for some folks who might be struggling with that, because, you know, if that's your business and you don't want it run through the mud or have the logo appear where you don't really think it's the place you want it to appear.
That's just kind of, you know, this is a rant, but that's just kind of irritating to me, because even when I came up with my first logo, you know, I basically went into a little logo program or whatever and, and put some stuff together, and it was kind of cheesy looking or whatever. But the last thing I wanted to do was be a representative of somebody else. I wanted to be my own identity. So to me, not only the laziness of doing that, I just don't, you know, in really the low cost. I mean, I had my logo made last year, and it was $125.
Yeah,
for a very nice logo. I had several to choose from. I picked this one. It worked out fine. But, you know, that's just, I just don't understand that. That's frustrating. Yeah. I do believe, though, that people will, you know, it comes back around. And, mm-hmm. and again, if you do wrong, you're going to get it.
I also kind of, and this may happen with some social media stuff, but I also subscribe to Google Alerts with my business name.
Okay.
I don't know, you know, Google Alerts. You can, every time, let's say you put in the computer guy, let's say you put in Podnuts.
Sure.
And every time Podnuts appears on the web, they send you an email with the location where that's at. And so you click that and you can see, okay, somebody's talking about Podnuts. You know, if somebody's ripping you a little bit, you can also see that as well, too. Whatever appears on the web, Google Alerts will send you an email. So I've got several settings. I've got my hometown, or here in Hampton, Iowa, I've got that set. So anytime Hampton, Iowa is mentioned on the internet, I get an email about it.
Okay.
Anytime I've got three or four competitors' names in there as well, too. Anytime one of my competitors' names is named, I get an email about it. Plus my own name, my business name, and a couple of their search items in there, too. So google.com/alerts, and you can set it up. Now, don't set it up so generically that every time somebody says the word computer, it emails you, because you're going to get a lot of emails.
Sure, absolutely.
But do your name and do your business name. And because you want, even if you're not on that network, you want to see if people are talking about you, good or bad.
That's a good point.
Good to know if you want. It's just as important to see when people are talking about you good as they are bad. And I mean, it's kind of this reputation management thing. You know, you got to manage your own reputation out there. Because if you don't brag yourself up or defend yourself, sure as hell nobody else is going to.
Sure. No, you're absolutely right. No, that's good. These are great tips that I was not even aware of myself, and definitely something I'm going to do and look into to make sure that I'm, you know, being diligent to, you know, get that information. That's great.
Yeah. So it's like if you put in Podnuts and I put in Computer Guy and somebody posts out, you know, I heard that stupid interview from Podnuts with that Computer Guy, you know, we're going to both get that email.
Okay. Gotcha. that's good. That's real good.
The guy's phone rang all the time. I had to send him an email. It said dude in it.
Oh, that's funny.
That was the last time. I apologize. I still apologize for that. The phone rang the whole time.
It's, it is what it is.
We have something else that's kind of relative to social media is I'm involved in three social media breakfast groups now. And
really?
We have just so much fun talking social media. One meets the two of them meet monthly, and one kind of meets just whenever. But sit around with other business owners, and I've been both the instructor at one. You know, you present a 10 or 15 minute class on something, and we have sponsors now. We've got sponsors from Utterly Smooth. It's a hand cream company that makes hand cream out of cow's milk.
Okay.
It's called Utterly Smooth.
Utterly Smooth. I think I've heard that name before. Yeah, that's very interesting.
And they're paying for all the donuts. And we have coffee and donuts. We meet maybe an hour and a half. And our chamber has one. And then another group has one, a North Iowa group. And then I'm in another one near Des Moines. But they just get sponsors from the web. And we, you know, tweet out to them, hey, thanks for the hand cream, or thanks for whatever. And give them a little bit of PR and stuff just paid for.
Now, how did you – okay, so obviously one of those was through the Chamber of Commerce. How did you get involved in those other groups? What was the best way to go about finding those?
What happened was I'd been involved in some social media stuff here in North Iowa, and we got to thinking that we should do something. Well, I heard that another group was going to start a social media breakfast club, and I thought, well, before they do it, let's us do it. And so we did a Google Hangout with a couple of three or four of us. And we decided, yeah, so we put one lady in charge. Hey, you line it up. And so then we kind of forgot about it. And then she lined it up, and we met at a small coffee shop. And, you know, her goal is only to have like four or five people sitting around a table talking social media. And at our last meeting, we had 35 people there.
Wow.
And
that's great.
And And so then one of the gals that was at that meeting is in our chamber, local chamber in here in town. And she brought that idea back to them, and they thought they needed one. And so we started that one up, and then there's one in Des Moines that's been there forever. It's the Des Moines Social Media Club, and I go to a few of their events, but not a whole lot of them. It's too far away to go. But yeah, so anyway, once a month I go to these two events here in North Iowa, and yeah, we spend hour and a half just talking about tips and tricks, and we've really been focusing on how to run contests, because there's a right way to do it and there's a wrong way to do it.
Okay.
And so talking about, because if you run the contest the wrong way, you could get your page taken down. Doritos here a while back, a couple of years ago, had a contest. They ran the wrong way, and Doritos had their page taken down for a while.
No kidding. Okay.
Because they violated terms and conditions of Facebook. You can't enter a contest by saying, share this page to enter.
Okay. Gotcha.
And so many people do that. So I use Rafflecopter as a contest page. Everything runs through Rafflecopter. And so if I'm wanting to build likes, so for example, I work with another business in town that has nothing like mine. So I worked with a cupcake company. So if you work with food, you're guaranteed to have some people like you, no matter
sure.
what. And so you had the rules where you had to like the computer guy and you had to like the cupcake company. And then at a certain time, then we gave away a dozen cupcakes.
Okay.
So then I did one where I gave away a gas card with a local gas station. Everybody can use gas in their car.
Absolutely.
So a $50 gas card that they kicked in half, I kicked in half. And they had to like the gas station's page, and they had liked my page, then that's how we did it. So
okay, that's great to know.
Yeah, opposites attract, but you'll get a lot of mileage if you use food or gasoline as your bait, you know, so to speak.
Right, sure. No, that's great advice. Wow. Again, this is something I would not have thought of, but this is this definitely tweaks my interests in, mm-hmm. you know, being able to do some of this stuff. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I do a lot with social media. I'll show you how to do it. I'm not going to run it for you. That's kind of my motto. There's people who can run it for you. I don't have that kind of time.
Sure. Absolutely.
But my sister-in-law does all my graphics for me, and she can do all that, but I won't run it for you, but I'll tell you how to do it.
Okay. Very good. So awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. So let's see. So we've really talked about a lot of business, you know, tips and social media and different things. Do you have any favorite tools that you work with that you couldn't live without in your day-to-day repairs?
Really, there's a new program I've used. It's a backup system, an auto backup tool that I think it cost me $35, and it is just fantastic for transferring things from Windows XP to Windows 7 or 8. And I know you could use the Windows transfer tool. I had a bad experience with that once.
Okay.
And lost some data. I had to go back and redo a whole bunch of stuff. And it cost me a lot of time. And so anyway, I just kind of got away from that migration tool. So I use that. All the standard, you know, malware bytes and things like that, and you could argue all day what the best antivirus is. So I don't really get into that much. I use what I use, and that seems to be what I use. But I do a lot in just the registry myself, just looking in there and making sure everything's okay as far as different things go, as far as viruses and
okay.
And I know that a lot of my competitors don't do that. And I've got to secret shop them again. I really do. I need to have, I do that once every once in a while. I did about 4 years ago just to see what they're doing. And, a friend of mine, that I work with, is a business consultant. And like I said, I'm a member of, four chambers of commerce. And so I said, why don't you just call the chamber and tell them that you've got a computer problem and who would they recommend? And so he calls the first chamber and they right away, oh, the computer guy, you got to call him. Here's his number.
Okay.
And great. So then the second one, she names off all these companies, but she says, but if you need somebody to come out to see you, call the computer guy. The rest of them, you got to take it to them. So
okay. That
was good. And a couple other ones just right away, the computer guy. So for those folks who are in chambers, I would do the same thing. Have somebody, you know, that can act like they have a computer problem and call the chamber. And if the chamber says it's not our business to recommend our members, one member over another one, it's time to have a conversation with somebody. Okay. Because you're paying for that.
Sure.
You're paying for somebody to answer the phone and say, you know, if there's in our town, there's four competitors. I don't necessarily have to be first. It's nice that I am.
Sure.
But I want to be mentioned.
Oh, absolutely.
If they say, hey, we have four people in town, I'll give you their numbers. That's all I want. But sure. You know, if I'm first, that's more. I did that for a friend of mine who was having some trouble with the chamber, and they never even mentioned him. And
okay.
It's like, oh, wow, okay. And so I said, all right, thanks. You know, and I called him right away. Hey, they never even mentioned you. And he says, oh, I'll call them. I want my $150 back. You know, they're not even going to mention you.
Sure, absolutely. But, yeah, if you're definitely paying for, you know, to be a part of something, yeah, you definitely want to be, you know, recognized when people are looking for that type, because that's part of what the Chamber of Commerce is.
I thought so. Yeah.
You know, so No, that's very good. So yeah, these are all great tips and different things that people, I really think people can use, you know, in their day-to-day stuff. So that's been very good. Do you have anything else that you want to share? Or?
That should just about wrap it. That should have bored people for about an hour. So I think we're good.
I think it's definitely, I've enjoyed it. I've gotten a lot out of it. Hey, I do have one email that I want to read.
Sure.
And let me pull it up here. And this is from David Lawrence. And basically says, hi, Jeff. Great shows on Podnuts. These recent runs with the RSTT and Instant House Call have been awesome. Hey, do you mind if I ask you some questions about how you do things in your computer repair business? I've seen you got the Tech Site Builder, which I do, and that you do the $89 fix idea. We've been doing that for our home repairs as well. And I'm curious if you do an $89 fix for everything, i.e. including virus removal, tune-ups, data recovery. Those three seem to be the most time-consuming, so I'm just wondering what others like yourself do. Also, if someone brings in a machine for a fix and you have to do a data recovery on it, do you charge a second fix price, or is it still one fix? Sorry for the dumb question. David, there are no dumb questions. It's hard to try out new pricing models, and so while I like the idea of the $89 fix, I'm still wondering if we're doing it right. Thanks, man. Appreciate any feedback you have. David Lawrence, and he's from Dave Way Tech. That's his business name. So, and I emailed him back and kind of sent him my price sheets and what I had come up with earlier this year. And, you know, and I think there's a different pricing structure for a lot of things that are done in my business. The $89 fix will, you know, will get you a virus removal, tune-up type of thing if you bring it to me. Mm-hmm. You know, and I tend to charge more if I remote in or if I actually come out to your place, because I look at it this way, you're paying for the convenience of not having to go anywhere, not having to do anything. So I know some people charge a little cheaper. I don't, because I figure, hey, if I can get your computer fixed within an hour, you don't have to do anything. That's a great deal. But if you bring it to me, then you're going to be without your computer for a day or so. So to me, the cost effectiveness of charging more for either, whether it's remote, even though it's easier on me, or going out there, you know, I basically charge the same. So, and I charge $129 for, you know, virus removal, cleanup, just so everybody knows out there. And that's coming up from, I used to charge $49 if you'd bring it to me. I don't do that anymore because I got sick and tired of virus removals. Because they can be a little more complicated than what people actually think. And I tend to be very thorough on getting rid of that stuff. But so basically I'd sent David a price sheet, and I do have some different things, you know, that I go through in my business. And if anyone wants that information, you know, feel free to email me. I will share that information with anybody. I'm not, you know, most people are all over the world, and I'm not really in direct competition with anybody. And if we can learn from that, that's great. But as far as your, I mean, you charge flat fees, you charge hourly fees, or how do you do it?
It used to be when I had the store downtown, it was $120 for virus removal. You bring it to me.
Okay.
And pretty much our setup was 40, 50, 60. It was $40 for remote repair an hour. And with the first 10 minutes being free, that was always the hook, because it does take the first 10 minutes to get signed in.
Sure.
You pull stuff up. Might as well just make that free, because you're going to eat it anyway. Because they're going, well, that first 10 minutes, all you did was screw around, you know.
right.
$50 an hour if they bring it to me, and that's for virus removals as well. But I usually tell people I can get those done in 2 hours.
Okay.
If I'm on site, which I hate virus removals on site, I do free pickup and delivery in a 45-mile radius.
Okay.
And that seems to get people perked up a little bit. And I said, why haul it in? Well, I'm going to come out to your place for nothing.
Right.
Or for, you know, no additional fee. And, but then that's $60 an hour. So that's a little bit more, but,
okay.
You know, this, I like to be in and out on those jobs. You know, I don't like, I want to spend all day at their house. I say, you can't afford to feed me.
Right.
So I don't want to spend all day here. But yeah, that's, you know, 40, 50, 60 is pretty much what I'm at right now.
Gotcha. No, that's great. And I think the different pricing structures out there, some people are comfortable with the flat fees. Some people are comfortable with the hourly rate. And I don't think that there's a bad way you can go. I think it's whatever works for you and your customers. That's the best way to go. I do kind of the same thing. My 129, if I come out to you, is basically that gives you an hour on site. And usually I'll know within about 15 minutes of whether I'm not going to be able to finish that within an hour. And I say, you know what? This got to go back to the shop. But, you know, again, I only travel in a 6 mile radius, so I don't like to go out very far. That's just me. But I'll bring it back. I'll fix it, continue on, and, you know, bring it back out to them, hook it up for them, and same type of thing. But if I can remote in and have it taken care of that way, it's still $129. You don't have to do anything. I'm not having to go there. It's basically the same price. You're getting the same service, whether I go there or remotely. And sure. That's why I charge the same price on those. But, you know, hey, these are all subject to change, and you just have to use what's going to work for you. And you know what? You can check out some of your competitors, but what you really have to do, I think, is you have to figure out what your time is worth. Mm-hmm. And you have to figure out what you want to get paid per hour for the information that's in your head. And once you get to that point where you go, the information that's in my head is very important and worth a lot of money. You know, I've told this on a couple of podcasts, but I said, hey, go to a mechanic that's going to fix your car. And when you see that $125 hourly rate that they're going to charge you for working on your car, and, you know, go in there and say, you know what? I don't want to pay the $125. I only want to pay $75 an hour. See what mm-hmm. they tell you.
Yeah. And I get my oil changed this one place, and a Jiffy Lube, they call it. I don't know if they have Jiffy Lubes where you're at, but anyway,
yeah.
It's pay one price. And I kind of banked when I had the store downtown, I banked the pricing off of that, because whether it took them 10 minutes to change my oil or 45 minutes to change my oil, it was the same price.
Sure.
Because they've got in their business model, they've got an average of what they need to do.
Absolutely.
At a certain time.
Sure.
So that was kind of how I did it. And I always laugh at people who brought in their own oil. And I said, you know, do you go to Denny's and take your own eggs? You know,
right.
I mean, they don't do that.
Exactly. No, that's
why when we were at the store, I never installed customer owned equipment. If you brought in a hard drive for me to install, I won't do that. And plus the same thing is I wouldn't just sell you a hard drive, or I wouldn't sell you memory, or I wouldn't sell you a power supply. No, I sell you that as part of my service to install, because you'll screw it up. Then you'll blame me because it's wrong, and then you'll want your money back.
Exactly.
And so I lose all the way around.
That's a good point. So, that's great. That's a great business model. So, that's a good way to look at it.
But most of it, I give people estimate, you know, and some of it is based on customer attitude.
Oh, absolutely.
Be combative on the phone with me where I don't even know you.
Right.
And I shoot you a price. And, you know, I said, hey, you know, I said, why don't you just call Best Buy? They charge $129 to ring your doorbell, and then they'll charge you labor on top of that.
Right.
So call them.
Yeah.
See if they'll come to your house for nothing.
Exactly.
So.
No, that's a good point. Yeah. You got to get paid what you're worth. And like I said, it's about knowledge. It's not about necessarily doing the work itself. You're getting paid for the knowledge that you've taken the time and effort to learn that other people have not.
The funniest one is the other day, another tech from around here wanted me to remote into his computer and fix a problem he had. Well, I said, well, I'll remote in, but I said, I'm probably not going to fix your problem because, well, why not? Because I said, I'm going to use tools that I use, not to have you just steal my tools and use them yourself. So I logged in his computer just to look around, and he was using, you know, those like PC Optimizer Pro.
He was
using that as his virus removal tool for other computers.
Sure.
And those are the bogus spyware ones.
Yeah.
And those are the ones he was actually using as tools.
Ugh.
You know, it finds a lot of stuff, he says.
Sure it does. Yeah. A lot of bogus stuff. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And I thought, wow, you're using that? So I couldn't believe it.
That's crazy. That's why the people who are doing a legitimate business and charging a legitimate price and are in it for the long haul will be around for a long time to come. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at it this way. If your business is not where you want it to be, which mine, you know, still isn't today, I'm always looking at ways to improve myself and improve my business to make sure that, you know, I can feel satisfied, you know, doing what I do and getting paid a decent price for doing what I do. Mm-hmm. So I think you always have to look at your business. If you're not looking at your business and you're just trying to do the same thing you've been doing for 10 years, I think eventually you'll get burned out and quit, or your business will flatline and, you know, slowly degrade over time, which I've seen happen, you know, to certain businesses. So
I think that's why I've gotten into a little bit more of the social media things and working with businesses on their social media, because maybe they don't have the computer issues anymore. They've got somebody else to take care of it, but I can sit down with them in an hour or so, you know, give them some direction on what they need for their social media, you know, networks.
Absolutely. That's a great, you can always expand your business to something else. Well, I'll tell you what, Pat, I appreciate you coming out and sharing on the show. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, and you're more than welcome to come back at any time and, you know, share with us with, you know, some more things that you're doing in your business. But if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, and I know you're busy, but if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, what's probably the best way to do that?
Oh, you can email me. That's fine.
Okay.
It's surprising locally, and I really like a text message.
You know,
for my local customers, is really handy for a local customer to text message me, because I'm always, you know, on the phone.
Sure.
Then it doesn't go to voicemail. I do use Google Voice.
Yes, I do. Well, I do sort. I use it just on my. I use Google Voice for my cell phone now. I don't actually have a separate number anymore.
Right. Okay. Well, I use Google Voice. So what happened here about 6 months ago is I bought a competitor's phone number. And it was a long story, but anyway, he didn't own it. Another guy owned it, then sold it to me. And of course, my competitor was very upset.
Oh.
But he didn't really own the rights to the number. And so the guy who owns the rights to the number has a cell phone repair shop. And the last thing I want to do is fix cell phones and tablets and that sort of stuff. So once in a while, I get a call for him. And then when I get a call for him, then I just forward the email phone message to him. And then he takes care of whatever they need. So. But that's a handy tool I use as well. But I do use that because I can go back and play the phone messages from anything, my computer, my tablet, whatever. I do use that. But yeah, they could just email me. It's YANKEEZ at thecomputerguide.bz.
Okay. And I'll definitely put that in the show notes. Yeah, so they have a link to that.
Or you can go to my website. There's a form you can fill out to email me, and or you can just text me.
I think that's how originally I got a hold of you, was using your form there on the website. So you emailed me right back.
Because there's still people that believe in calling local. I have 5 different phone numbers. They all ring to the same phone number. So somebody else. So, and that's basically locally around here who people don't want to have to call long distance. And I probably should have gotten a toll-free number when I first started out, but I didn't. But anyway, that's kind of the deal on that.
I use a local number because I've actually been questioned on that when my area code or something didn't match up. And I think the toll-free number kind of I'm building my business as a local business.
Yeah.
And I want that to be, you know, part of my phone number. I'm the local computer guy from where you live.
Yes.
You know, so that's important to me. And that's one of the things that I still do.
And so what I had when I had all these phone numbers, I had them all on Verizon's mobile phone, or, you know, their additional lines on my cell phone bill. And what I did was I forwarded all those to a service called VoIPO.
Okay.
www.voipo.com. And so instead of paying $16.99 a month, I'm paying $3 a month. And so that.
Oh, nice.
Out. And it's just a call. For me, it's just a call forwarding service. Now, if I had a bigger setup, I could use VoIPO for a whole VoIP phone system if I wanted to. But okay. I just use just a little bit of it. And okay. It's $3 a month to pay for it in 2-year packages.
Nice. No, that's a great that's a great tip, too. Wow, we're just chock full of tips in this episode. we'll end off the show here. We'll put that information in the show notes. And I just want to let you guys know you can find me also on Google Plus at Jeffrey Hallish or Twitter at TechNutPC. And if you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show or, you know, share some show topics you'd like to hear about, please email us at podnetsdaily@podnets.com. I want to tell you guys, you can also help support the Podnets Network. The next time you're shopping at Amazon, go to podnets.com/Amazon. Remember, that doesn't change your price at all. It just puts a little change in the pocket of the network so we can bring you these great shows. And I want to thank you guys for listening and subscribing to the show. We'll see you next time on Podnets Daily. Come check out some of the other podcasts on the Podnets Network, like Android App Addicts. It's now a daily podcast. 5 days a week, each show the perfect length to get you through your daily commute or workout. If you have an Android device and aren't listening to this show, you are missing out. Or if you're interested in remote support, check out the Remote Support Show. If you want to laugh and have a good time hearing about tech, listen to the Geeksters. If you want to learn about Linux, then check out Linux for the Rest of Us. And if you're into all things server-related at work or for fun, check out The Server Show. In the market for a new phone, check out Mobile Dynasty to get all the latest information on your mobile technology. If you're tired of being unhealthy, then check out Health Nuts. Come check out these shows and more over at podnuts.com.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.